first of all, we wanted to talk about Malibu Hamilton, who passed away a couple of weeks ago now, John.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. A couple of, well, 2 weeks ago this evening. Yeah.
Yeah. And so both of us, but John in particular, worked with Malibu on quite a few environmental issues. I first met Malibu, it might have been genetic engineering, that might have been the topic that we were working on, and I know that he was hugely active in the environmental area and had been most of his adult life, I think, John, had he?
I think it gradually came to him because originally he was a surfer.
Yeah.
And there were some interesting tales told about his surfing origins when they had the memorial to him over in Thames almost a couple of weeks ago.
He's pretty much one of the original Raglan surfers, isn't he?
Well, he was a Piha surfer originally.
Right.
And apparently didn't know anything about surfing, so in those days you had to wax your board and he waxed it on the wrong side. So there were some tales of how he'd been taught how to surf.
Right, because you went over to for the
memorial. Yeah.
Memorial, yeah, yeah.
As did quite a lot of other Raglan people. I'm surprised how many people were there. So
yeah, no, I was aware people were sorting out cars and things like that. No, he was Malibu was well respected for the stuff that he did in the community. Should we talk a little bit about what those things were? Because I know. He popped up when I was got involved in genetic engineering issues, and I saw him and Angeline Greensill. They submitted to the Waikato District Council, and they were basically the people who got the rules changed so that Papakainga could be built. And we've got two of those in our nearby being constructed at the moment, which is so that was a very important piece of work that they did, and. Actually, just back a step before we do that, John. He at some point in his life he got a degree, and I presume it was in the area of the Resource Management Act.
Yeah, well, it allowed him to become a commissioner for the Resource Management Act, so he could go and hear cases and make decisions and take part in things like that. So
And I try to explain to people like there's times I've presented to council and there's been a panel of like four people and two of them are commissioners. Independent commissioners and two of them are councillors, or maybe the mayor even might be there, and so Malibu was qualified enough to do that, but also the point of I think originally he probably did it to aid his environmental activism.
Yeah, well, that was the main point of it. Yes.
Yeah. When did he do that? Do you know what stage of his life he did that?
Fairly recently. It's probably about 10 years ago, I think. So
really? You think it might be longer? Because I'm sure he did it before I met him, and that would be...
No, he did it whilst I knew him. So
Okay.
Yeah. And he'd obviously started on that, and he had lots of experience at appearing at hearings and all that sort of thing. So he had a pretty good background to it before he started studying it formally.
That would be... See, I went to university straight after school, and I just didn't really... I kind of didn't really know why I was there. But Malibu would have known exactly what he was looking for to get out of it, at that time of his life.
So, and I've managed so far to draw up a list of 18 things that I'm aware that, or other people are aware that he was involved in.
18?
So I'm still collecting things because he lived to, almost 78. So a reasonable lifetime, despite being a lifetime smoker. So that was particularly non-environmental.
It gets you early, that though, doesn't it?
That's why there's been these schemes to try and get people off tobacco or not getting into tobacco in the first place. But that's a whole different subject. He was, as you say, was involved in genetic engineering I did a few trips to Ruakura with him looking at the experimental station they had there.
So how were you guys allowed in? Because we're talking about wanting to be GE-free here, that the three of us and many others in Whangaroa wanted.
Yeah, well, Malibu had all sorts of connections, and one of his strengths was he was really good at getting on with people, whether he agreed with them or disagreed with them.
Yeah.
Initially he had the sort of very aggressive attitude of if you're not with me then you're against me and I don't like you and I'm going to shout at you and make you annoyed, but he fairly quickly learned that that wasn't a great way of doing things.
Sometimes a lot of us need to go through that first before we come out and then come out the other side.
And he became very charming to everyone, whether they were with him or against him.
Yeah.
So he managed to talk his way into Ruakura and do regular visits there to go and check how they were getting on.
So it was not in any formal capacity or anything then?
He set up an environmental group, which was one of the many that he set up. It's on this list somewhere. I keep forgetting the name of it. Tikotuku Whenua, which was a Ngāti Wairere environmental group.
Yeah.
And the strength of being in these Māori groups is that the treaty has been partly applied in recent years, and therefore it gave Māori groups rather more status than any other group.
Yeah.
Vis-a-vis government, because of course the original intention of the treaty was to have government by Māori and government by Pākehā, and the two worked together, and we ended up with government by Pākehā. And the sort of sop to that in recent years has been to give some government to Māori, but not all that much. Mm. So things like visiting Ruakura were sort of acceptable.
Mm. But, okay, let's since there's 18 things to talk about, we've mentioned the GE3 and the Ruakura Māori team.
Because he was connected all over the country with various groups, he got to advise on doing things all over the place. So I've put Huntley down on the list because apparently he was involved in setting up a boxing club there to get kids off the street.
Right.
And also to deal with their toxic waste, because there was a proposal to put it down some of the disused coal mines. And the locals weren't too happy with that because it could have got into the groundwater. Mm. He set up Kai Whenua Organics, which for a decade or so produced lots of organic food out at Whale Bay.
Yeah.
He set up Kiwis Against, or didn't set up, but he was a founder member of Kiwis Against Seabed Mining, and he worked with them for a long time. Probably good to talk to some of the people on Chasm, because I only saw it at a distance. But
yeah,
I know he was involved in much of the legal work on that and getting the defeat of the case in the Supreme Court, which now is about to be overturned probably by the fast track. We might get on to discuss
maybe
that as well.
Discuss that fantastic news a bit later, yeah.
The Raglan Coastal Reserves Management Plan, he had long discussions with the planners on that and influenced the outcome of that quite a bit.
How come the planners came out to see him, John? The planners didn't come out to see me at the soccer club. What's the story?
It's a matter of being charming and also being Māori. So the combination of the two got them to come out. We're looking at a photo of Malibu talking to several of the district council planners out on the Wainui Reserve.
So my option is just to really up the charm. Is that what you're saying?
Malibu had it in excess probably, and you walked down the street with him, and it was a very slow process because he knew almost everyone who passed and stopped to talk to them.
Yeah, yeah.
Completely unlike me, who, if you're lucky, I say hi and walk straight past.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but you worked with him a lot, so you guys are a bit chalk and cheese, but yeah.
That was a large part of how he got things done. He was also involved in getting the sewage resource meeting set up. We've got another one coming up on Thursday evening. So he was instrumental in, he was involved in the the second sewage resource consent hearings around about 2000.
Yeah.
It was interesting that Catherine Delahunty was one of the people who was facilitating the discussions then between the council and the objectors, and she was along at the commemoration a couple of weeks ago as well.
Green Party MP?
Yes.
Yeah.
She later became a Green Party MP. At that time, she wasn't. But there's been this push for land-based sewage ever since the sewage ponds were first put out to the west of the town back in the 1970s. So looks as though finally that might be achieved, but Malibu was a large part of achieving that and getting improvements made. So he kept well up in all the latest technology as far as sewage and stormwater and lots of the issues concerned with the environment.
Yeah.
So all the main drains around Raglan, where the stormwater goes, have enviropods in them, which collect all the cigarette butts and other bits of matchsticks and such like
that
would otherwise go floating out to sea. So he knew that technology, and again, he used his charm and influence to get the council to put them in all those stormwater discharge points. He also worked hard to get influence over at Rangitahi when that was being designed. So he's ensured that the archaeology has been preserved there. And also largely the stormwater is fairly clean coming out. There was the notorious case 2 or 3 years ago when it didn't work. But
that was during construction. And that was I remember the particular company, the head of that company was in total denial about what had happened there, but I think they got fined, didn't they?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so that's during construction. So at least that's been and gone, and the permanent solutions, the long-term solutions are in place now.
Yep, but over in Rangitahi ensured that the wetlands got preserved and also used for clean up the stormwater coming off the streets there. So,
it's a bit of a model subdivision then, in some ways.
Yes, in some ways, yes. I tried to get them to improve their transport, but we've just got a car-based suburb, so I didn't achieve that, but Malibu achieved the stormwater.
Okay. This number 10 on your list, the Surf Break Protection Society, this must have been one of his first things he was involved with.
I think it was set up probably about 20 years or so ago, so it certainly wasn't the first thing he was involved in, but he did get very much involved in it. And with people over in Whangamutar and up at Piha, they've managed to get 17 of the surf breaks with national protection, which gives them almost complete protection from being damaged, which is one of the problems they had with the breakwater out at Manu Bay, because that would have great difficulty in getting a consent to go any further out into the surf break because of that protection.
Yeah. So when they rebuilt that break wall, they built one that
wasn't any longer. Yeah.
But also the waves could wash over the top it didn't reflect waves back out, and that's been the source of that. We haven't got time to go into that.
Well, we've talked about it before.
Yes.
That was one of the things that he did, and I think they've protected virtually all the surf breaks around the country. That are used to any extent by surfers, so that was quite an achievement and quite a lot of work that got put into it, various hearings, writing all sorts of papers. He was also involved with the Tainui Hapu Ki Whangarā on that committee, so that was one of the Hapu committees. We've mentioned
Te Kotuku Whenua.
There was also another group which Malibu set up to protect the Maui dolphins, Te Naru Roa Omoi. Of course, the group which is now looking after Karioi Project, that wouldn't exist but for Malibu. He had a series of meetings with the Department of Conservation. He was very much opposed to 1080. Most of those in the Karioi project, including me, probably aren't opposed to 1080 and see it as the only practicable way of getting rid of pests. The outcome of that was that he set up a group called Te Whakararanga o Karioi, And I remember having long discussions with Crystal, who's now running the Carrioge project, when she was still working for NIWA. Eventually she came around to the idea that it would be good to protect Carrioge, and that's because she was a scientist working for NIWA, she had more standing with Doc than either Malibu or myself, so Doc agreed to the Carrioge project being set up.
There's lots of insights in here on how to have influence over government organisations, John. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. I think Malibu realised that, which is why he was keen to get Crystal involved, because he realised that she'd have more influence with Doc than either of us would. He also was greatly involved with the Waikato District's district plan. And as we were saying earlier, got Papakainga housing as one of the main wins for Māori in that one.
And this is significant, folks, because there's bits of parcels of Māori land around which is collectively owned, but because it's a single title, they're only allowed to build one house and maybe an ancillary dwelling on it, like according to the rules. And he and Angeline Greensill got the council to recognise that it was like an unjust thing. And that if it was collectively owned, then the collective should be able to build on it. And they created rules specifically for that. Yeah. And which is, given that we've got a housing crisis, it's every little bit helps at the moment, on top of the fact that people should have the right to build on their own land.
Yep. So the original development was out at Wainamu. And since then, we've also had the one that's still being developed along Wainui Road. So there's probably something like 30 affordable houses come out of that, because he was also involved in the Affordable Housing Trust, which in the end only managed to get one affordable house built with the cooperation of Habitat.
So that's 15 years ago that happened?
Something like that, and it did have an agreement with the Labour government back in 2008, but that was when the Labour government went out of office and that agreement went out with it.
So, right, okay, gone.
And housing's only got less affordable since. Another group's been set up and has had much the same problems as that affordable housing group, so that wasn't the greatest of successes, but there is one family living in an affordable house as a result of it. The Whangaroa Environment Centre, he was one of the founder members of that, and that's how I first came across him, because we were both on the WEC committee.
Yeah.
And he also set up Whangaroa Environmental Defence as another group when he saw that WEC wasn't campaigning as he thought it should do. So
I remember the community board chairperson at the time complaining about you using Whangaroa Environment Centre to put out information that you still do about the community board.
Yeah, well that's when
he thought the Environment Centre shouldn't be allowed to do that, which of course he had no jurisdiction or ruling over, but I think you guys found it easy just to set up Whangaroa Environmental Defence and send it out under those emails. I mean, it's all a bit ridiculous from the chair of the board at the time, but yeah.
Yeah, but and that shows the sort of things that influence how things go. A list of 18 things it was involved in, and as I say, I think there's probably more that I've not yet found out about. But
yeah, so if you just tuned in halfway through this, we're talking about Malibu Hamilton, who passed away 2 weeks ago tonight. So we must have just done our show, and then last fortnight, and then he passed away. So
yes.
Yeah. A lot of good stuff.
He had been ill for a long time. As I say, smoking's not a great idea if you want a long and healthy life.
But, so
a great loss, because he was still giving advice to people all around the country, even though he was living in Thames for the last 3 years.
He was very effective. I remember him standing up at a community board meeting. Someone was there talking about putting, every now and again someone pops up with the idea of having a marina down by the wharf. And he just stood up in the forum part of the community board meeting and said, representing the local hapu we were talking about before, saying that basically he said they didn't want it to happen. And that was it. Like, once Malibu said that, everyone was like, okay, that's not happening.
Instead, we've got a pontoon which may form the basis of a marina at some stage.
Well, yeah, maybe. Maybe. But
it's maybe significant that that came after Malibu had moved away from Raglan.